All right, glory be to God. Somebody say, I need the wisdom of God. Come on, say that again. Say, I need the wisdom of God. Not my brother, not my sister, not my wife, not my husband. I need the wisdom of God. Not my boss, not my co-workers, not my mother-in-law. I need the wisdom of God. Amen. So in this first month of the year, we're going to be pulling on God for wisdom. Now, why is wisdom so important? In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says there, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. It says, therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Look at that. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The word principal, that word tell us, that is one of the most powerful words in the Bible. Actually, Bible scholars tell us that word has the honor of being the very first word in the entire Bible. That word principle, the word translated principle in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 is the very first word in the entire Bible, the Hebrew word. Now, if you look in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, you see that the first three words in Genesis 1 verse 1 is what? In the beginning. Those are the three words, the first three words in the entire Bible, in the beginning. Those three words are actually the same word that's translated principle in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. So when the Bible tells us wisdom is the principal thing, there's so many other ways you can look at that. You can think about it as wisdom is in the beginning. Or wisdom has got to be in the beginning, right? So the Bible says to us, don't even worry about anything else. Don't even try to get anything else. Get wisdom. And then it says, with all of your getting. Now, I like that very much because it's saying that to emphasize the power and the value of what wisdom is. It says, with all of your getting, get understanding. Understanding is the younger brother of wisdom. When you get wisdom, understanding comes along with it. Amen. So the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. So now one of the first things that tells me is wisdom is at the beginning of everything God does. Wisdom is at the beginning of everything God does. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the door opener. So that means before God could actually even create the heavens and the earth, he needed to have wisdom. He needed to have wisdom. You don't believe that? Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verse 19. It says, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding has he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. The Lord needed wisdom. You can't build anything without wisdom. You can't build a family without wisdom. You can't build your life without wisdom. You can't raise children right without wisdom. You can't devise a good godly plan for your life and execute that plan without wisdom. You can't build a career or a business without wisdom. You can't make good choices and make the right investments and make proper decisions and all of that without wisdom. Without wisdom, you can't talk right. Without wisdom, you don't see right. Without wisdom, you don't know the right steps that you need to take at the time that you need to take them. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is what will distinguish you. It's wisdom that enables you to see what you need to see. That's why, you see, it's like when you build a house, when the Lord created the entire, the earth, the heavens and the earth, was like when someone is building a house, you don't start building a house from the roof. You start building a house from the foundation. Do you agree with that? You start building a house from the foundation. So right there at the foundation, there's got to be wisdom. There's got to be wisdom. Now, the Lord told us, you know, all of these great promises the Lord gives us every new year. In this year, well, the theme for the year is a year of accelerated miracles and guaranteed victory, and the Lord will do great things for us. And the words of our confession this year are so powerful. Amen. Amen. The Lord will do us good is the portion of our inheritance. Whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when this is all over, what happens? We win. Hallelujah. I know I have a portion, a right, and a memorial in God. Something good is about to happen to me. So I'm looking for it. I'm preparing for it. I'm expecting it. I'm getting ready for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And by this time tomorrow, I said by this time tomorrow, Amen. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings for me. Yes, sir. By this time tomorrow, the tender grass of my seed will emerge and grow from the ground up. By this time tomorrow, my harvest will manifest. My miracle will arrive at my door. By this time tomorrow, new doors of opportunity will be opened unto me. And God will do something new. Suddenly, the light will break forth like the noonday sun. Now, all of this stuff is good. It's good. It's good to know that in a new season, the Lord wants to do new things and he wants to do great things. But the key to the new thing that God will do in our lives is wisdom. I said something in the Akron service while ministering there. You know, what I do nowadays is if I'm ministering and something comes out and I wasn't aware of what that was and I said it and I heard it myself for the first time, I tell someone who is in the audience, type it out and send it to my phone. Yeah, type it out so I can go dwell on it later on. And some of these books have come out from stuff like that. Hallelujah. But I remember one of the things I said there, as I ministered, it wasn't in my notes. As I said, it's not hard for God to bless you, but it's hard for you to find the way of God's blessings. That's what's hard. It isn't hard for God to bless his children. It's not. It's never difficult for the Lord to bless his children. What is hard is finding the way to the blessing of the Lord. Because there could be a million ways to move ahead in your life. And what none of us can afford to do is, you know, trial and error. I'm going to try this. No. If you just find the way to God's blessings, you'd already be blessed. Amen. I said amen. Now, what is the way to God's blessings? The way to God's blessings is wisdom. That's wisdom. Someone has described or defined wisdom. They called wisdom knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. That's why it's the principal thing. It's got to be at your beginning. Knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. Another person defined wisdom as knowing the best means to the best ends. The best means to the best ends. Hallelujah. So wisdom is what connects us with all of these promises of God. Look at one of those scriptures that the Lord gave us this year, is Isaiah 43:19. Usually, most believers will read a scripture like that at the beginning of most years, just because of the promise that is carried in that scripture. It says, "Remember you not the former things, and don't consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not know it? I would even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So, but notice though, the Lord is telling us one of the prerequisites to entering into the new things of God, into the new blessings and the new season, whatever the Lord has for us, is we've got to learn to close the door. We've got to shut the door on the past. The past doesn't just hold failure. Sometimes the past holds successes that can hinder us from experiencing the new success that God has for us in the new season. So one of the things that needs to happen is we have to learn to shut the door on the past and not dwell on the former things, whether they were good or bad. And then get ourselves ready for the new things of God. How do you get yourself ready for the new things of God? It's called wisdom. It's called wisdom. Somebody say with me, I need the wisdom of God. Wisdom will show you what you need to see. Wisdom will teach you what you need to know. Wisdom will instruct you on the right steps to take. It will guide you and enlighten your path. I really like that part. And it will guide you and enlighten. Wisdom is light. Wisdom is light. When you look in the book of Genesis chapter 1, where we read earlier, where I alluded to earlier, and the Bible tells us the earth was without form and void, and God said, let there be light, right? You remember that was the first thing the Lord said. Do you know, let there be light, when the Lord said, let there be light, he wasn't talking about the sun and the moon or the stars. All of those were created on the fourth day, right? But when he said, let there be light, that's the open door into the masterpiece that God is about to create. And suddenly, when light came, everything else opened up. Everything else opened up. Wisdom is light. If you look in John chapter 1 from verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all of that goes on and on. I said, this Word, this light, and the Word was life, and the light became the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Well, wisdom is light. That's why if you go back to Proverbs chapter 4 that we read earlier on, where it says wisdom is the principal thing, so therefore get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Notice there in verse 4 of verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 4. Notice where it says what to do with wisdom. After it says get it with all your getting, get understanding. Then it says exalt wisdom and she will promote you. She'll bring you to honor when you embrace her. She'll give your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she'll deliver to you. And it goes on and on. And then it says in verse 12, when you go, your steps will not be crooked. They'll not be straightened. And when you run, you'll not stumble. Why? Because of the wisdom of God. Now look in verse 18. In verse 18 it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter or more and more unto the perfect day. What is wisdom? Wisdom is light. Wisdom is the illumination of God that enables us to see clearly, to know what steps we need to take as we navigate the paths of life, as you build whatever you're building. You're building your life, you're building your family, you're building your career, you're building a ministry, you're building a business, you're building relationships. Wisdom has got to be at the foundation of that. Amen. I said amen. Now notice that when the Lord, this was the experience of Solomon. Let's read that in 2nd, there's two different places we could read that from in the Bible. But let's read the account in 2nd Chronicles, 2nd Chronicles chapter 1. Glory be to God. Why don't you just pray that prayer? Say, Lord, please give me your wisdom. Say it again. Say, Lord, please give me your wisdom. Amen. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 from verse 7, it says, in that night God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give you. Ask what I shall give you. I've often wondered if the Lord ever showed up to any of us to ask us, ask me for anything. Just give me, ask me for one thing right now. I believe most of us would ask for some things. It's very unlikely that any of us would ask for wisdom. If the Lord said, ask me for one, if any one thing you ask me for, I'll give it to you. Somebody may say, Lord, give me a new job. Somebody may say, God, all I want is a new husband. Just give me a new husband. Another person may say, Lord, please give me a totally different wife. Like someone said in the Akron church, she said, if the Lord ever said to her, ask me for one thing, she says, the only thing I'm going to ask is, God, kill all my enemies, kill them all. Kill them all, and kill them all quickly. Hallelujah. It's very unlikely that most of us will say, Lord, if God says, ask me for just one thing, it's very unlikely that most of us will say, God, all I'm asking you for is wisdom. And that's what Solomon did, though. The Lord said to him, ask me, what do you want? What should I give you? And in verse 8, Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and you have made me reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let your promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. You know what? I really love the way that, you know, the way we're sitting today. Most people are sitting up front. Did somebody send out a memo? You did move them. God bless you. Oh, wow. Did you move them? You asked them to move? I owe you a gift. Guess what the gift will be? Wisdom. Wisdom. I just told you, wisdom is the best gift you should ever want. It's the best gift you should ever desire. What were you thinking? A new car? A new house? All your enemies be killed? Which of those gifts were you? Wisdom, if I say I'm going to give you a gift, the first thing your mind should go to, wisdom. I need more of that. Amen. But thank you for doing that. You know, it's so much more intimate when people are much closer up. I know sometimes people have challenges when, you know, their usual typical seats, you know, they're very comfortable in those seats, and that's where they enjoy the sermon the most. It's like, if I'm not sitting in this particular seat, I'm not even going to hear a thing the pastor says today. So just leave me in this seat. And so kind of over the years, we kind of leave them in that seat because you want them to hear the sermon. Amen. But apparently, you don't care about them hearing the sermon. You just want them to move up, right? They will hear the sermon. God bless you. More wisdom to you. Amen. Okay. All right. Got you. Okay. All right. So Solomon, so the Lord said, ask me for one thing. And listen to what Solomon said in verse 10. Give me now wisdom and knowledge. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before these people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Man, God was so impressed. God was so impressed that Solomon could have asked for money. Solomon could have asked for houses. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for honor. He could have asked that God kill all of his enemies. And not one of those. Solomon said, Lord, just give me wisdom. And listen to what the Lord said to Solomon. And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked me for riches, and you have not asked me for wealth, and you have not asked me for honor, and you have not asked me for the life of your enemies, neither yet have you asked me for long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that you may judge my people over whom I have set you king. Then God said in verse 12, wisdom and knowledge is hereby granted unto you. And because I'm giving unto you wisdom and knowledge, I would also give unto you riches. So you see, wisdom never walks alone. Hallelujah. I said, wisdom never walks alone. Wisdom's got this huge family. And whenever wisdom arrives in your home, it arrives with treasures and troves and troves and troves of blessings. Glory be to God. How many people remember the people, the men who came to see Jesus after he had just been born? The Bible called those men what? The wise men. But guess what? When those wise men came where Jesus was, guess what they brought with them? Gold, frankincense. But I'm telling you, wisdom never walks alone. That's why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. When you get wisdom, you get wealth. When you get wisdom, you get health. Do you know wisdom teaches you what to eat and what not to eat? Wisdom teaches you how to understand your body. Wisdom teaches you how to appropriate the things of life. Wisdom teaches you how to relate. I was talking in the Akron church, and I gave them an example of the way. Wisdom isn't just all this, you know. Some people think wisdom is this spiritual thing in the air. No, wisdom is a grace from God, but then it's demonstrated in practical ways. In practical ways. When the wisdom of God gets into your life and gets into your heart, it will play out in practical ways. You know, in this story, after Solomon asked God for wisdom, you don't see that. I don't think that particular story is here in 2 Chronicles. It's in the other account of this story. I think that might be somewhere in 2 Kings. I'm not sure, chapter 1 or something. Let me see if I can find it for you. But do you know the very first thing after Solomon got the wisdom of God was he had to deal with a situation where two women came to him. And you remember this story? And one of the women said, you know, we were sleeping at night. Both of us just had this new baby. I had my own baby. She had her own baby. Both of us were sleeping in the house, in the same house. And suddenly in the middle of the night, I reached out to get my baby so I could feed my baby. And the baby next to me was dead. And I looked at the baby that was next to me that I was trying to feed. And it dawned on me, that's not my baby. So I think this woman with whom I was sharing a house actually swapped our babies out. Well, the other woman said exactly the same thing. Both of them came to the king right after God gave him wisdom. God said, I give you wisdom. Well, how was that wisdom demonstrated? In practical terms. It wasn't just something woozy-woozy in the air. It was in practical steps. Wisdom will direct your path. Wisdom will put the light of God in your way. So Solomon, the king said, okay, bring the living baby to me. Bring the living baby to me. So they brought the living baby. And the king said, all right, let's kill this living baby. Let's divide him into two. And we're going to give one half to you, woman number one. And we're going to give the other half to you, woman number two. And woman number one said, yes. Oh, yes, yes, that's exactly what we need to do. That's what we, you are kill my child, yeah, kill my child. And woman number two said, no, king, don't kill that child. Don't kill, I don't care if I don't keep the child. Just preserve the life of this child. See, wisdom is demonstrated in practical ways. God didn't come from heaven to tell Solomon, this is the woman who's lying and this is the woman who's telling the truth. No, he didn't do that. He just gave him practical wisdom, and based on what Solomon said and based on the response of the two women, Solomon decided, this child belongs to this woman. Because guess what? Anyone who's connected in their heart to their children wants their children preserved. They want the lives of their children. They don't care if those children are not next to them. They don't care if their kids are thousands of miles away from where they are. They want the lives of their children. See, that's the difference between shepherds and hirelings. Jesus teaches that very clearly. Jesus said, true shepherds really want to be, they really want the well-being of their children. Hirelings just want to get a paycheck. That's what Jesus said. And the truth of the matter is, there is something about wisdom that helps you tell the difference between, okay, this is the right step that I need to take, and this is not the right step that I need to take. I mean, two of your children who you love dearly can be having an argument, and both of them can come crying to you. And you know, every parent knows this. All of us parents, if you're a true parent, we all know you don't want to be showing favoritism to any of your children. You don't want any of your children to feel like, well, all right, you know, that's what they always do because they prefer him to me, or they always give her the advantage over me. Well, no parent wants to do that. Yet, what you're going to find is a lot of times, because parents are just as human as their children, a lot of times the things we do tend to suggest that we favor one child over the other. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, do you understand what I'm saying? And yet, the wisdom of God helps you know how to relate with each child differently, because those children are different. You could be, what's the word? You could be excited with one, and because the other one is in a bad mood, feel like, well, you're always excited with her, but you're never excited with me, or you are always happy with him, and you're never happy with me. But the wisdom of God can help you channel direction, instruction, grace, everything you need to do with each of those children differently, in practical ways, even when it's not necessarily calculated by you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The wisdom of God is practical. The wisdom of God flows through your heart. The wisdom of God gives you light and enlightens your path. Notice, Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom. If you are going to give me anything, give me wisdom. Let me read this out to you again. Wisdom will show you what you need to see. Wisdom will teach you what you need to know. Wisdom will instruct you on the right steps to take. Wisdom will guide and enlighten your path. Wisdom will fill your heart with godly counsel. Wisdom will help you decipher the best plan for everything that you do in your life. Somebody say, I need the wisdom of God. Say it again. Say, I need the wisdom of God. I mean, you could have two separate investments. Maybe there are two different things you could do with your resources. And maybe you put some of this in here, or you put some of that in there, and it could look to you like, it could seem to you in the natural like, well, this is where I really need to put my resources. And yet, wisdom knows something that you don't know. And wisdom may say to you, no, don't put all of your resources there. Put half of your resources there and put half of your resources here. And you say, Lord, but this particular investment is going to yield me the highest dividend. And wisdom says, no, put a half of what you have here and put a half of what you have there. And you find out 6 months down the line that actually that was the right decision to make. But you could not have told that 6 months earlier, because wisdom sees things that we don't see. Things in life a lot of times are not that apparent. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, puts in our hearts and enables us to see things that we need to see so that we can make the right decisions, so we can make the best judgment. Hallelujah. Say it one more time. I need the wisdom of God. Come on, say it again. Say, I need the wisdom of God. Why don't you make that a prayer? Lord, please give me your wisdom. Amen. How do we get this wisdom? The Bible tells us in James chapter 1. Look at that scripture with me. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How do we get this wisdom? James chapter 1. And look at verse 5. What does he say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Come on, let him do what? Ask of God that does what? Gives to all men liberally and does what? Upbraids not. And what would happen? It will be given unto him. It will be given unto him. Now, remember what I said earlier, that wisdom isn't just this like thing in the spirit, you know, just like something out there that we don't know. Wisdom is practical. Wisdom is practical instruction. Wisdom is guidance. You know, in relationships, a lot of times, and mind you, relationships are bridges to destiny. Hallelujah. One of the prayers you ought to pray for yourself all the time, all the time. God, help me. Help me see people that you've put in my path. Help me see people that you've positioned to help me get to the next level in my destiny. And all of us have those people. The difference is some of us can recognize those people, and many times many of us cannot recognize those people. It's also one of the most powerful things taught in this book, the power of spiritual perception. How to know, how to see beyond what can be seen readily. How to be able to tell beyond what you can necessarily or naturally tell. When you pray those prayers, God, help me see the people that you've placed on my path. There's so many things that will be different about your life. A lot of situations and a lot of blessings from God would actually be accelerated. Remember what I said to you at the beginning? It's not hard for God to bless you. It's hard for you to find the way to God's blessings. Well, one of the ways to God's blessings are the people that God puts on our paths. God many times can connect us with people. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people around our lives right now were positioned there by God to connect us with his ultimate blessings for our future. Well, I remember some time ago, the Lord showed me one of the most crucial principles of wisdom that I pursue and I try to operate in my basic relationships. My wife will tell you I fail in this a lot of times, but I'm trying. She may not think I'm trying, but I really am. You find that after the scriptures tell us in James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea. Well, it goes all the way down. It's 105 already. I better get this rounded up. He goes all the way down, and then look at it. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is what? Come on, help me read this scripture. Is what? Comes from above, right? From the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Then he says, of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, blah, 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 and all of that. Now look at the next verse. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be, come on, help me read this scripture. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That is one of the most heavenly formulas for success in relationships. It's one of the most powerful heavenly formulas for success. I'm wrapping this up. Remember what I said to you earlier. Wisdom is practical. When you come into January 1, and you know, we have all of us make our New Year resolutions, and you know, God, yes, I'm trusting God to do this, and I'm going to do that. Well, immediately you are faced with decisions. Immediately you have to take steps. Immediately, you know, you have to make investments or wrap some things up or do. Well, everything you do is practical. Wisdom is practical. Wisdom isn't just, and what enables you to make the right steps every day of that new year is the wisdom of God. Well, in your relationships, because relationships are the key, they are the bridges to destiny. And I'm not just talking about relationships that you are hoping for, because all of us are always projecting like, oh, I'm trusting God and I'm looking for this person or that person over there. No. I'm talking about even the relationships around us right now. One of the greatest keys to relationships between spouses, between family members, work colleagues, and all of that, the Bible tells us this. Look at it. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow. Do you know that for a lot of people, this formula is actually in reverse? Do you know that? Do you know that for the average person, this instruction right here is in reverse? Right? So many times, we are actually very quick to speak. Many times, we're very quick to be angry, but then we are very slow to hear. Do you understand what I'm saying? So then, what that means is, if in your relationships, you are always very quick to speak, and you are always very quick to be angry, I use this illustration in Akron. You know, there are a lot of people who will say, I just got to give you a piece of my mind. Or they'll say, well, you blew my fuse, and I just got to... You've seen people who don't have a control over their emotions, right? They'd say, well, I got angry, and I said what I said, and I did what I did, just because, you know, one of the ways wisdom helps you build healthy and solid relationships is it teaches you to be very slow to speak. One of the ways you are slow to speak is you pick your time. It's not always the right time to talk. In fact, sometimes God wants you to say nothing. I'm going to take you through this road later on in the month. I'm just about to close. You know, in Nehemiah, our original story from which we've been studying since last year, you know, after Nehemiah prayed and said, God, show us grace and all of that, and he received from the king, he told the king, you know, the walls of Jerusalem are all broken down, and long, long, long before he came and told the people, you see the distress we are in, and the God of heaven will prosper us. You know what Nehemiah did first? After the king gave him a release to go build the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah got on his horse, and he took no one with him. He went to spy out the land. I'm going to take you back there later in the month. I'm going to show you. He told nobody anything. He went and spied out what he knew they were supposed to be doing. And he specifically said it in the scripture. He said, and I told no one. He said, I didn't even tell the closest people to me. The question is why? Because wisdom is strategic. There's a time to talk, and there's a time to be silent. You know, if you have a conflict in your marriage or in a relationship that is precious to you, it's not always time to talk. Sometimes married people say, well, we've got to talk. Yeah, we got to talk, but we don't have to talk right now. Right? Right now, we may need to take a time out. Maybe you need to go watch a movie, and I need to go watch basketball right now. Seriously. Or maybe we just need to go to a restaurant and eat. We don't need to talk now. Amen. Because if relationships are bridges to destiny, and the people that God put around our lives were put around our lives for a strategic purpose, it means God expects us to walk in wisdom with the people that he has surrounded us with. If we are going to arrive where God wants us to get to, there's a wisdom that parents need to speak with their children. There's a wisdom children need to relate with their parents. There's a wisdom colleagues at work, people who work together, need to speak to one another or relate with one another. And if you walk in wisdom, what you are going to find out is, instead of tearing down, you are going to be building. Let's close. Say with me, Lord, please give me your wisdom this year so that I can enter into the best life possible in 2019. Repeat that after me. Say, Lord, in everything that I do, help me to walk in the wisdom of God. Lord, in every step I take, help me walk in the wisdom of God. Father, in all my interactions, help me walk in the wisdom of God. Lord, you built the earth in 7 days, not in 7 million years. I know. The reason it took that short of a time was because you had wisdom. I know wisdom can help me arrive at my destination quicker. I know wisdom can hasten my steps and accelerate the blessings of God upon my life. I know it doesn't take that long to be blessed by you. So please give me wisdom. Help me see what I need to see. Help me know what I need to know. Lord, in my life, help me invest in wisdom. In my relationships, help me invest in wisdom. In my deliberations, help me walk in wisdom. In my investments, help me walk in wisdom. In my career, help me walk in wisdom. I receive the wisdom of God now in the name of Jesus. I give you the glory and I give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet and bless the name of the Lord. Go ahead and thank him for the wisdom of God in your life. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and thank him. Come on, just bless his name as we close. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, because 2019 will be a year like no other. Thank you, Father, because you'd accelerate your miracles in my life. You'll accelerate your blessings in my life. You'd enable me to arrive quick at where you're taking me. I give you the glory and I give you the praise. I bless and I magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Before we share the grace, I want to take a moment to thank you all. I know that Pastor Tino showed us earlier the work with the India people. As you all well know, that's one of the it's one of the channels that God has given to us to minister to people. This was very, very deliberate. Late during the Christmas last year, we chose to not ask for another offering because we had gone through our special offering season. You remember that? Leading up to, I think that was in December. And so we didn't do that, but we did have a plan to actually make some funds available to our India mission, which we did. We just didn't talk about it, all right? And I'm so thankful that they were blessed. They were blessed in immeasurable ways. And part of why I wanted you all to see that in this service is I want you to know there's a lot you're doing that you may not be aware of. And from time to time, we'll let you know. We'll say, okay, hey, listen, this is going on, and that is going on. And, you know, God is walking there and here and all of that. And sometimes it's not even necessarily officially channeled through the church. There's a lot of things that Abundant Life is doing in different parts of the world that are not even channeled through the local churches at all. The local churches have no idea. But I want you to be confident that every investment you make, every seed you sow, I don't care if it's a dollar or a million, God is using those to be a blessing to people all over the world. And we have always been good stewards of the resources in this ministry. We will continue to be, as you all know. We're not in this for money. So it's very important from time to time that you are aware that even though we don't talk a whole lot about what we do with monies and things, there's a whole lot that is going on. And all of those blessings that accrue don't just accrue to a handful of people, they accrue to all of us that are a part of those blessings. Amen? And I pray for you always that the Lord will bless you and he will continue to increase you and your family. I'm so excited about what God is going to do in your lives in 2019. It's going to be a year like no other. Do you believe that? Yeah. Amen. All right, let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. And